I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Sumwald, please take the roll.
Commissioner Knippel.
Excused.
Commissioner Ritter.
Here.
Commissioner Haley.
Here.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Commissioner Bennett.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
And Commissioner Fowler.
Here.
Please rise, join with us in pledging allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. First item on the agenda is a regular meeting Thursday, October 3rd. 2013. Any questions, comments? If not, is there a motion to approve?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I abstain.
Okay. We have four ayes, no noes, one abstention. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item three, public hearings, business items. Item A, Gray Wolf Partners, Inc. Mr. Fuchs.
This is a public hearing item. The applicant is proposing to amend the PDD number 13 boundary to include the 19.7-acre property at 6801 South 27th Street. It's currently zoned B2. They're also requesting to allow permitted B3 district uses within that building, as well as recreation and amusement uses and warehouse and distribution uses with special use approval. In addition, staff is recommending to also include in PDD number 13 the 2.92-acre outlot owned by Sam's Club. It'll create a more continuous and consistent border within PDD 13. Staff is recommending approval of the boundary change, B3 uses and recreation amusement use with special use approval, but we are recommending denial of the request for warehouse and distribution uses. Staff believes the warehouse and distribution uses are not consistent with the comprehensive master plan or the 27th Street corridor plan, and are concerned with the compatibility of those uses with the adjacent commercial, retail, and residential uses.
For which uses?
The warehouse and distribution.
But you're okay with the.
But we're okay with everything else that is being requested.
Do we have applicants here? Anyone that wishes to speak?
The applicants are here.
And I know. Could you read the public notice first?
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, November 7th, 2013, at 7 o'clock p.m. or soon thereafter, as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. To your public comment regarding an application by Gray Wolf Partners, Inc. for approval of an ordinance to amend Section 15-3.0418 of the Unified Development Ordinance, Plan Development District Number 13, Walmart, Sam's Club, Wholesale Club, to in part expand the district boundaries to include and provide for the rezoning of an adjoining to the south approximately 19.7-acre parcel and potentially an adjoining to the south approximate 2.92-acre outlot from B2 General Business District and FW Floodway District to Plan Development District Number 13 and FW Floodway District, and to allow for an amusement and recreation service use and warehousing and distribution use subject to special use approval within the existing building on the 19.7-acre parcel.
Okay, welcome. Nice to see you again. If you could please introduce yourselves, so please state your name and address for the record.
Susan Ipsaridis. I'm an asset manager for Gray Wolf Partners. My address is 632 Western Avenue, Cedarburg, Wisconsin.
Can you see if that microphone's on, please?
It's on.
Can you hear back there, Alderman Skransky?
Yes.
Okay.
Peter Glazer, CBRE, 777 East Wisconsin Avenue, Milwaukee, 53202.
Okay. Do you want to kind of just give us a brief overview or... and maybe some history. I think history would be good. And then maybe talk about, I think what you shared with me is what may occur if this does not happen.
Okay. As you're already aware, a number of months ago, prior to the Ashley Furniture Store vacating, we came requesting a zoning variance to allow us more latitude to try and secure new tenants for that building. It was proving to be a significant challenge that we have 63,000 square foot of warehouse space and a number of truck docks in addition to the 53,000 square feet of retail lease or the retail front portion of the building. While we were here the last time, we did meet some objection and ultimately you did not approve our variance. And one of the primary reasons was that you're very uncomfortable with the open-ended nature of our request. We were requesting sort of an open-ended warehouse usage. And you recommended that if we were able to put something together that we should come back with specific uses in hand that you could then make your decision or base your decision on so that you know what you're making a decision on. And that's how we come to you this evening. Since we were here last, Ashley has indeed vacated. And we now have 116,000 square feet of empty space. We took your comments to heart. We hired Peter Glazer of CBRE, who we believe is the best retail broker in Milwaukee, to market this property. And he has diligently done that. He has had a number of leads. We have sorted through them. He's worked with them. And we are trying desperately to find users that would be in keeping with your current zoning. And that really has proven to be a difficult task. The retail users really are not interested in having 63,000 square feet of warehouse attached to their retail business. Peter has been able to put together what we believe is a very reasonable option. It's basically three pieces, and those three pieces would fill the building, which is what has to happen in order for that building not to stay vacant indefinitely. We're pleased to report tonight that we're in the process of finalizing a deal for the front space with Hobby Lobby. I'm sure you'll all agree that that would be a great and welcome addition to the corridor and a really nice, you know, addition to the community. They're a well-known company, and they are very much in keeping with the kinds of businesses that you're looking for. Unfortunately, they don't need, nor do they want, the 63,000 square feet of remaining warehouse space. We have two other deals that we are currently trying to finalize, but they are contingent on your approval and the changes that we've requested here this evening. We can't do one deal alone that will make the building viable business, so we really need to find a way to lease the entire building. The documents you have before you include a special use permit for Sky Zone, which is an indoor trampoline park. They would like to lease the middle 27,000 square feet section of the building. We believe that this is a family recreational facility would be a great asset and a really nice add to the area as well. It's a family recreation destination. There are businesses that have been doing very well. We've had others open in the metro area, and we really believe it will help bring new business and families into the area to support all the existing businesses. We're also in the process of negotiating a deal with Allstate Transportation Logistics. We paid for and tried to submit their special use permit along with the Sky Zone permit request this evening, but we were not able to get all of the required paperwork together to make the timeline that is required by the city to bring that special use permit before you this evening. We did receive all the remaining paperwork several days after the deadline. It has all been submitted and is waiting to be heard at the next meeting. So, you know, we don't have that last piece and all the details officially in front of you tonight, but it is part of this whole request. And again, the reason it's not here is because we missed the deadline by a couple days. We acknowledge that this is not ideal and that it is not what was the choice when the zoning was set at the time. But we've got a building that's over half warehouse. There's no users in this market that need or want that much warehouse space. Allstate Transportation Logistics sounds I guess, scary to individuals in the neighborhood, and I hope that we can reassure them that this is a really light type of user. Alongside the other two deals, this is kind of the final piece that we need to actually fill that building. We cannot find a retail user that wants to be at the back end of a lot in a building that's truck docks and warehouse. So it's really not an option for us. The warehouse piece by Allstate will be used primarily for dry goods storage, very low truck delivery, and the only trucks that will be coming and going, and they say that's between 1 and 8 trucks, 8 trucks maximum a day during normal business hours, not weekends, not nights. There will be no outside storage. It really is a very low impact use. You know, use the warehouse, but it's a low impact use. It is not anything like the kind of trucks that are coming and going from other area businesses. It really is storage and delivery and very, very low volume in addition. Those things are all part of the discussions with them, and it can't change.
What kind of trucks are you talking about? These 18-wheelers, or are they?
They would be, yes.
It would be 18-wheelers. How are they different, or how would this be different than the trucking that occurred with Ashley Furniture?
From what I understand, and Nick, I know you looked into this, I think there were, 3 semi-trucks a day?
Correct.
That Ashley had come in, and then they had probably the smaller box trucks leaving about a dozen of them a day coming and going.
Okay. All right. This is set for a public hearing. I guess, does anybody want to ask any questions at this time, or do you want to wait until after the public? Okay. And for the record, Fred Knippel arrived shortly after we started, about 7:05. Okay, I'm going to open this up for a public hearing. Are there any citizens wishing to speak regarding public hearing on item 3A regarding Gray Wolf Partners, Inc.? Yes, if you could, please come to the microphone. Please state your name and address for the record. And we'll try and limit testimony to about 3 minutes. And if no one else wants to testify, we'll leave it up to the commission if they want to have a longer testimony.
Thank you. I'm Catherine Vaneda. I'm at 6744 South 34th Street in Franklin, directly behind Sam's Club and Ashley in the Victoria Place condos. We already have quite a bit of activity there because of Sam's and Walmart being right there. It's continual, and there's concern not only with noise. I mean, you're talking 1 to 8 trucks a day, and Ashley had 3. That's almost 3 times what Ashley had, and that seems pretty hard to bear when your front door faces that. You're going to get a lot of noise, a lot of unwanted noise. It's not just my place. There's 40 units in our condo alone. There's also several houses along there. There's also another condo association. I just think it'd be too much. I mean, I certainly understand that we want to have some commerce in Franklin, but I think having additional warehousing in there would really be a detriment to be living in Franklin at that location. And I would hope that my alderman would side with me and say, no, we don't want that part.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding this item? Is that the microphone too high for you, ma'am?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Here we can get some assistance.
Diana Gastro, 6724. Oh, okay. Thank you. Diana Gastro, 6724 South 34th Street. I also live in the Victoria Place condominiums. I'm sort of happy to hear about the Sky Jump, although it's not in my demographics. I won't be going there. The Hobby Lobby would be wonderful. Of course, the main concern, again, is the warehouse and distribution facility. My main concern with that is 24/7 operation, and it sounds like you have said it would be regular business hours, so we wouldn't have the noise. Another thing that Ashley never did, Walmart did, but it doesn't make a lot of difference, was put a fence up. If, in fact, you all decide to do this, I would like to see a fence go across there to help at least with some of the noise that we might hear.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Could you put up the GIS? Is that possible? Just because I think I'm hearing 34th Street. I'm hearing right. Kind of figure out where the...
Just across the wetlands.
All right. Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Yep. Craig Haskins, the chair of the Economic Development Committee for Franklin.
I need your address or your new address.
I was going to give it to you. Give me the new one. Today, I'm not here on behalf of the Economic Development Committee. We have not met or discussed this. I'm speaking on behalf of myself at 7120 South Wolfville Road. I think what we heard today is that some of the neighbors were concerned about the trucking in and out, which, to my knowledge, it was an Ashley Furniture Store and prior to that a Menards. And it's certainly a use that I don't see how you'll ever use any of these buildings without trucking. Some of the neighbors that I met before we started the meeting tonight said that the noise coming out of the Walmart from the idling trucks in the middle of the night is significant. And you heard the applicant say that that's not going to happen. Also, I also heard Mr. Glazer say that this is dry goods storage, usually for corporations. So it's not going to have the refrigerator. It doesn't seem like you'd refrigerate dry goods. So there would probably not be refrigerated trucks idling in that lot all day. So I think it's rare that, at least from my experience, to have an applicant willing to address the neighbor's concerns right off the bat without even asking. I have spoken to both the applicant and the alderman of the district about the concern of the neighbors, and I think that it would be reasonable, despite the staff recommendation against it, to approve this such use. Keep in mind, you also heard the applicant say that this property isn't viable without all three tenants. Two isn't going to work. And you'll end up with these guys leaving and potentially having a building that's vacant. And vacant buildings don't usually satisfy a lender. So if that's the case, you're going to have a tougher choice on what might come later as we look at a vacant building on the main corridor through Franklin on 27th Street for potentially another year to come. So I would recommend that the Planning Commission find some way to require the applicant to satisfy some of the neighbors' concerns, which it sounds like they're going to do, and approve all three of these uses. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone here wishing to speak on behalf of the public hearing? Yes, sir, I've seen you before. Actually, I'm seeing your face all over the place now.
I don't recognize him in a tie, though.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, Joe? It's either that or Vermont scale. Ken Skoronsky, 8642 South 116th Street, alderman of the 6th District, former of the Economic Plan Commission, chair. The building has been vacant for a long time. When Ashley came into it, I think they were very cognizant of what was going on, but I respect the opinion of the residents. Across the way, I think if the owners of that building would be amenable to listen to their concerns and do some soundproofing and deadening, the truck traffic would probably be a lot less from what Ashley had there. It would be a lot less offensive as far as there's no refrigerated trucks and things of that nature. It would bring the building back to a useful building. As we all know, we don't want to see buildings that are vacant. They ask for a lot of trouble. In some cases, we just ask for people to get in there and do things they shouldn't be doing. So I would like to ask that the Plan Commission work with the owner and see what you can do in order to bring this to a useful building and work at it that way, because I think good, viable business in the community will help everybody and hopefully satisfy the tenants which live there or the owners of the home, and respect them because they've been there for a long time and their concerns have to be brought forward too. So hoping the Plan Commission will look at this and get something that'll mean them well to make it work and bring a nice business back in.
Are you related to this person that's got these signs up all over the place?
Yes, we spell our name the same. It works the same, and yes, I am a candidate for the 82nd district.
Just wondering.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Going once, going twice? Seeing no one, I'm going to close the public hearing. I just want to, as long as you've got the map up there, Warren, can you pinpoint where the condos are? Right there.
Can you pull up distances on that?
From the end of the building, the condominiums and residences are about 850 feet away. And that's from the building, not the property line.
Can you zoom in on the, I think that's Walmart?
That's the loading dock, the back loading dock for
Yeah,
Walmart.
That's what I'm looking for.
There's one on the back, though, too. Right there.
I'd like you to zoom in.
Oh, that's Sam's Club. That's their loading dock.
Walmart. Good. Do I have to get the master over here, the inventor of this? The guy that talked me into this? It's a pretty handy thing when it works. Oh, that looks like a quarry.
There you go.
Even more, I'm looking at is the what's behind, what types of trucks are behind Walmart.
The Sam's Club's the problem. It's closer.
Right.
Right. But I want to know what kind of trucking is going in there on a daily basis. I'm guessing Walmart has more than a couple trucks a day. Are those 18-wheelers? Do you have any recollection of how many complaints you've received regarding the Sam's Club or the noise from the trucks?
I'm not aware of how many complaints over the years. I know that staff has received several complaints within the past few years, I'd say.
Mr. Fuller?
Just when I was over there Monday night at 9 o'clock, and I noticed that there were several trucks idling in the back, but they did shut down. I don't know if the neighbors noticed that, but around 9 or 9:30, guys came out and actually shut their trucks off. But there was a refrigerator truck, I believe, on the other back side. I think that's where the refrigerator trucks go, and they have to stay idling. And I think they stayed idling as long as I stayed there. And I noticed that those are closer than where the old furniture warehouse would be. The distance is much shorter from where the Sam's Club is. And there is a natural corridor where the floodplain is, and there's going to be vegetation. And that vegetation is the best sound barrier, according to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. So my suggestion is if the tenants are willing to do some type of hours of operation for the trucking with some limitations, and perhaps a sound fence could be constructed to help address some of the concerns of the community, because I do think they have some concerns, but these vacant buildings that sit there along our 27th corridor are sometimes worse than what we might see as a not coming exactly what we're looking for as part of the PBD and the master plan. It's going to be a difficult building to fill from what we've asked for that.
Well, I guess I would just say that Hobby Lobby, I've done some research, Googling, I guess that's a research these days. And Hobby Lobby seems to be quite a nice place for families. I never really knew that much about Jump Zone until it came into Franklin, but it seems to be packed all of the time.
And Weed Franciscans might get busy if they have a Jump Zone.
Oh, there you have it. I'm thinking this trampoline place, probably, given that it's one I don't know if there's anything like it within the general area. I guess what I'm thinking about is it's probably going to, both of those facilities are going to serve like a magnet for bringing people into the area. I have talked to the owners of Melrose recently about these types of projects, more importantly about that building staying vacant. And the reason I've talked to them is because they're constantly asking me all the time what's going in Ashley's. Because they don't want those empty buildings. And they also are looking for future customers. Dental Associates is the same. Yes, they would like to have, we'd like to have buildings that are identical to Dental Associates all the way along that corridor. But they're very, very interested in making sure that that building gets filled up as quickly as possible. Last thing I would say on this is that it's my understanding that's the old Menards store.
That's correct.
And I go and have gone into the Menards over in Oak Creek, okay, I'm admitting it, once in a while. If they don't have an utter bolt in our Menards. There's a lot of truck traffic going into Menards. And so I know that ideally you would not want to have any truck traffic. But that facility down there had truck traffic for years and years and years and years. I don't advocate for having 18-wheelers along 27th Street, but I think the types of buildings and businesses from Rawson to College is quite a bit different than the types of businesses we're going to have from Rawson to, let's say, Drexel, or businesses around Wheaton Franciscan or around the Staybridge Hotel. So I've worked for about 10 years on the 27th Street Corridor project. I've been involved in many, many meetings. I've got a real stake in this. In fact, we had a little bit of an argument at the Common Council the other day about streetscaping, making sure that we keep the high level for the streetscaping. But in this economic climate, I think it would be very, very dangerous for us to reject out of hand quality businesses like Hobby Lobby and this family place for trampolines. So I, too, hope that we can come up with some creative solutions, work with the developers and the neighbors to make this a viable place. The last thing that we want to see, Franklin, is empty buildings on that land. Those are magnets for gangs and for graffiti and for basically saying no to future business. So. Anyone else? Alderman Schmidt?
Well, having been around here a long time and watching the evolution from Menards to Ashley's and stuff, and it's for the times that I've driven by there, it hardly looked like Ashley's sometimes was even occupied. There was a lot of empty parking spots available even in front of the building. Obviously, the 27th Street corridor the concept was designed with an ideal situation given the economics. I don't know, you know, if we can always maintain that same ideology that the plans are put forth with. And therefore, I too think that this would be better than having that huge building stand empty. And we do have what the other tenants that you propose to put in there provide some diversity in usage of the building. So, and it seems that the noise and traffic does not seem that this would be anything like we dealt with the Myers proposal. You had round-the-clock trucking and horn beeping and stuff like that if these trucks would only be functioning during normal business hours. So I would prefer seeing this being utilized this way for a while at least, and rather than continue to see the building vacant.
Thank you. Ms. Bennett?
I guess I would take the other step. We worked so hard and so many years working on the 27th Street corridor. I just hate to see this compromise. And we are in a downturn now, and we all seem to have kind of accepted the downturn and the city for many years and seen many ups and downs. And I hate, if we compromise on this and make it a warehouse, we're never going to see anything different. We're splitting a building up into three uses, which, you know, is kind of a marginal thing to do to begin with, in my opinion. If we do this, that's all we're going to have. Never going to have anything better. And I think having warehousing is just, and yeah, they may not have a lot of trucks now, but who knows how these things are going to migrate in the future. I think we'd make a terrible mistake for the 27th Street Corridor about warehousing in a retail area. That's just my opinion.
Mrs. Fowler?
If we did make it a warehouse, does it have to be permanent? Is it something we could do with a long term? Is there a way to have it not be permanent and have it be for a long enough term that they can get a lease or they can lease us to it, that we review it after so many years to see if these changes have occurred or if there is an upturn in the economy and they have someone that can find a better use for the facility or the space? I don't know. I'm not into that line. I'm an environmental engineer, so I can't balance my checkbook. So, but can it be done that way? Is that something we could have?
I think everybody's looking at you, Mr. City Attorney.
It's an available alternative in the consideration of conditional uses, which are called special uses in the city of Franklin. You need unique circumstances. I have a good guess. I'm hearing from applicants that this is, at least their presentation, almost a last-ditch effort here under, everyone knows it, difficult economic times. But with regard to how many trucks and if they start to procreate, as suggested by the city engineer, I don't know that a time limit would be viable. Unless the applicant suggests that it would be viable. That's one solution, but it would still be a warehousing use. My thought on it, following the discussion, I am curious as to what normal business hours are, because for some of us that's 24/7. But my simple thought was this: right now, what's been applied for and what's before the Plan Commission for recommendation to the Common Council is simply stated as to allow for amusement and recreation services and warehousing and distribution uses subject to special use approval. So there's two uses. Perhaps maybe the better idea is to more clearly define what's a warehousing and distribution use, and it could be confined in essence to this particular situation. So the description would read, allow for amusement and recreation services and limited single, meaning one, warehousing and distribution use, among other uses, in an existing multi-tenant building. And that keeps it unique to this circumstance. Doesn't mean that everybody in Plan Development District 13 and with new development or some other form of existing structure can walk in, file an application for a special use for warehousing distribution purposes and open up that process for a 150,000 square foot warehouse. And in terms of staff's earlier statements about compliance with the 27th Street plan and the master plan, there was no issue with that with the Ashley operation, and it was a Menards, and I know that predated the 27th Street corridor rezoning. But nonetheless, taking this particular amount of space, and what is it, 63,000 minus 27, that's akin, I'm thinking, I heard difference between three trucks and eight trucks, and is it three times? I still want to know what normal business hours are. But there was a business in the entire building that was part of warehousing and distribution, because that's part of what retail does. And if you confine the description of the use to one occupied unit in a multi-tenant building, which is what this will become, I think you limit that. And then within the special use, you put in all your recommendations as to specific conditions, vis-a-vis hours of operation and any buffer improvements required. So there's my answer.
Just to elaborate on that a little bit, what we have in the draft ordinance at this point is such amusement and recreation services and warehouse distribution special uses shall be personal to tenant occupant, shall not run with the land, and shall not be available to such existing structure or be allowed following the development of any new structure upon for said property. So that right there, it doesn't time limit it, but it limits it to the current, or the essentially the initial tenant, I would presume. Is that a correct interpretation?
It's been a while since we did the draft on this.
Section 4.
Personal, it's not time limited, but it's personal, it's not transferable.
Okay.
And I didn't read through the draft because 90% of this is the same as what was before Plan Commission and Council back in February, March. And that was the intent then. Because it's a unique circumstance, what I propose tonight further limits that.
And I appreciate what you propose tonight. As I'm sitting here thinking about this, I mean, yeah, it sounds good, and I agree we need clarification on normal business hours. The rationale for putting this into PDD 13, I guess I'm concerned about the district within the district thing here. I mean, yes, I think we ought to get specific on what the hours for trucking would be for this facility, but if we were trying to establish something for this particular facility, it would be inconsistent with what already exists for other operations currently in PDD 13. So that's where you get into, you know, because we've got, you know, Sam's and Walmart trucks running, you know, until late into the evening and in some cases overnight, that sort of thing. So, is that an available option to further restrict individual parcels within the PDD 13 district? Is it possible, and B, is it, you know, we can decide for ourselves whether it's reasonable and appropriate, but essentially we're setting separate standards within one district, which is not typically the way you would think of zoning to be done. So that would be, I guess that would be for the city attorney, is there any problem with having multiple standards within a zoning district for similar activities?
Mr. City Attorney?
No, because I don't know that you have a comparable structure, location, etc., and it is a mixed-use PDD.
Yes.
So I don't see that as legally prohibited.
There, and the PDD also specifically permits Walmart, Sam's Club. This would be specific use approval similar to that in a separate building on a separate property within that PDD.
Mr. Ritter?
Again, I would agree with the city attorney's comments. We need to get some kind of hours, I think, then specific. I don't know whether normal business hours seemed in context to be something like 8 to 5. But perhaps I was misunderstanding, you know, the context. So if there could be some clarification on that.
Yes, normal business hours from the proposed tenant. They've indicated 7 a.m. to 5 p.m.
What about 9 a.m.?
Do we have hours for the Sam's Club and the Walmart? Are there hours of truck operation there?
They close at, I think, 10:30. I believe they do have trucking in the evening.
Activity seemed to be there till. I mean, the trucks were not idling, but people were moving things out of those trucks till, I would say, 11.
Correct. I know the complaints that we have received are in the evening.
But they had equipment to unload the trucks.
I don't think there's anything in
I can find anything. I've got all the documents here. I couldn't find anything on time. There is a 150-foot limit from residential areas on large vehicles, large trucks. But given the distances we've got here, I mean, 150-foot is not a meaningful distinction.
So we have ordinances on
noise ordinance.
On noise. One of the first things I did when I was an alderman was to take the school district to task on their generator, their outdoor generator, because the people said that is exceeding the decibels, and we had Bruce Konetsky over there looking at everything. And so we have, I don't know that you have to be so unique here or customize it to such an extent. I think the issue with Walmart, and maybe I should say this for the neighbors, if they're starting up their engines before 6 o'clock in the morning, or they're exceeding the decibel levels, that's a violation of the ordinances, and a formal complaint could be filed, and we would send our people out with the decibel readers, just like we've been sending them over to the Rock, to the Rock Sports Complex, see if they're in violation of the ordinance. And if they are, and they don't comply, we would cite them. So I don't know, that's why I was asking earlier if there's been any complaints filed for that area, and that's, you know, I would think with that mustache, you should be able to get that up like this. So, Alderman Wilhelm brought this to my attention about Walmart and all this, the noise and the racket over there, and I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe you should have formal complaints filed, and we'll have the staff go over and investigate it. And if they're in violation, cite them. End of story. And we do that all the time. So if for my constituents out there, if you're hearing things way early in the morning and you seem to believe that they're creating a lot of disturbance in the neighborhood, I would ask that you file a formal complaint.
I can't see it, anything that they do there. Well, I guess maybe I shouldn't phrase it that. Right, with what they've said, there's going to be occurring there, 8 trucks. With what's happening at the Walmart and the Sam's Club, the noise level there. If it's just a noise issue for the citizens, it's going to be drowned out by the noise from the Walmart and the Sam's Club. But if there's these other issues about the permanence of having this building, if that's going to create a problem, as the engineer says, we might want to try to get creative in that as well. But I think what the attorney spelled out, I think, makes it perfectly clear that this is going to be stuck to this building, and it's not transferable when this tenant leaves, because it doesn't go with the building, doesn't go with the land, and it doesn't go to a new tenant. They would have to, is that correct, City Attorney?
City Attorney?
Yes.
Okay. But I'm satisfied that we are creating an exception here, but it's not going to be something that becomes permanent.
What I read in limits the potential for an application for this use. If you've got 2 occupied tenants and this warehousing distribution use as limited, if it goes that way, leaves another similar applicant, tenant, user could file an application to take its place.
And I do think we aid the Economic Development Committee and Franklin by not having this be a vacant building.
Well, not to belabor it, but you know I do all the time. So, well, honest, at least. I was pushing for the Plan Commission, Ford Franklin Commission, Community Development Authority, and the Common Council in the last 8 or 9 months to reaffirm the primary objective, primary mission of this city, which is the 70-30 goal. This takes us in closer to that goal. And last time I was out knocking on doors or going to a football game or whatever, I'm still hearing this word taxes. And we had a 0% tax levy increase this year for the city, but that's not going to hold true for all of the taxing districts, and when the people get their bills, their tax bills this year, it's going to be a loud yell. Now, 51%, 52% of the people in Franklin that went out to vote voted for the referendum question, but there's a big bill now. And so taxes is going to be front and center. And I see the president of the Franklin Seniors Group nodding in clients right here. Fred is the Bedford. So I hate to do this all the time, but it is the number one goal of the city is to get to 70-30, and this takes us on that route.
I would just like to mention that, in hearing some of the fears that warehousing is going to become sort of rampant, I have to tell you that if we could have found a use other than warehousing, we certainly would have done that, because the rent per square foot for warehouse is, I'm not even going to say significantly, I'm going to say dramatically less than for a retail usage. And from the landlord's standpoint, the rental per square foot that we're getting for Hobby Lobby is significantly less than we were getting for Ashley. What we're getting for the second piece is less than that, and the warehouse piece is what is going to keep this building hopefully able to pay its mortgage and keep operating. You know, if we could have found a use that would have been in, keeping with what you would like, that would have been better for the landlord too. It is just not an option the way the building is set up, with it being that far back and the truck doors and it being a warehouse. We have, Peter has worked very, very hard, and he has more connections than even I realized when we hired him. We have really, really tried to figure out a way to work with the community. We don't want to be at odds with our neighbors. We don't want to be a bad citizen of Franklin. We really want for this to work for the owners, because the owners, this isn't a big corporation that owns this property. As you heard the last time, it's like you and I and your parents or your uncle that own this building. It's like 12 or 13 individual owners. It isn't a big corporation. It's not a big company. If we can't put these deals together, if we can't lease this building, we are running out of time. And then that building will indeed sit vacant, and it won't be just for a year, because the process is not fast. And, it would be devastating for these owners. I don't think it's in the best interest of the community in the area. And like I said, first two pieces are longer-term leases. The warehouse piece was not what we were looking for. It really is not our first choice by any means. The light usage and the hours, those are things that, if they're making a commitment to us that that's what it'll be, those are the kinds of things that Peter will put in the lease. They will be in their lease. They violate that, and that's a problem. So, saying, these are what our hours are going to be, isn't something that goes away after we walk away from this table. It's something that's in a legal document, and it's their obligation to adhere to what they've told us. So, I guess, like I said, it isn't our first choice. Financially, it would be way better for us had we been able to get the lease rates that would accompany a retail usage or a recreational usage or something like that. So, we don't come here lightly. We are not insensitive to how this probably isn't exactly what you'd like. We know that this isn't perfect. But right now, this is the very best that we can do, and we don't have the luxury of waiting another year to have something better come along. So I guess that's just what I wanted to say, because I know that everybody's afraid that this is going to be some sort of slippery slope, and I respect that. I truly do. But in this case, I think you can control it.
Well, the city attorney has proposed a useful addition. I would suggest let's try to get that worked in. Let's add in the hours that have been indicated, and let's see if we can get that put into the draft ordinance.
Give the recommended motion to the city attorney and see if this still works or if you need to insert some things.
Motion probably works once we got to
it. Does it work?
Well, let's get the draft ordinance revised as the city attorney previously indicated, with an hours limit, and then probably a draft motion would work for the revised draft ordinance.
Could the city attorney read back the revision to the ordinance, please?
Well, so here's the...
unless you didn't write it down.
Here's the first proposed motion, and there's no motion there's no main motion there yet, but... I would simply suggest that Plan Commission consider a motion to amend the proposed resolution before the Plan Commission for its consideration, with regard to the description of, quote, warehousing and distribution, close quote, use, that it be changed to, quote, limited single warehousing and distribution use, among other uses, in an existing multi-tenant building, and further, separate from resolution adoption, that the Plan Commission recommends to the Common Council that the applicant's proposed hours of operation be limited to between 7 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. And the following, if the Plan Commission desires to so move and second and approve, then the second motion would be to adopt the resolution as amended.
Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded.
Just for clarification, any discussion? The hours of operation would apply only to the limited warehousing and distribution use. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's okay. Separate. It won't appear in the PDD, but that's a recommendation for any forthcoming special use. And that special use will be before the Plan Commission following a public hearing at the next regular meeting.
Okay. Any further discussion? Mr. Haley.
Well, I guess let me first say that I agree with city engineer. Standards are there, and if we wouldn't have what we've got already if we hadn't have been persistent and held off. I think there's large developments in the south that weren't always an option there, and we had trucking options. That said, I think it's great that you've come back with a proposal. I mean, when you were here last time, you had really no tenants, no potential. You've got them now, and in an optimistic way, you may have a different tenant. The trampoline world may decide that they'd like to expand. But the point is I still have the concerns about the slippery slope. And one of the things, and maybe staff can illuminate me on this, but the inclusion of the outlot puts us, I think, in a very slippery slope, because all of the protections we're trying to weave into this motion, somebody could come up with a proposal to put a distribution center on the outlot. I mean, and expand this whole thing, add on to the building. We're opening a door there that I don't know why we want to open that. Let's leave the outlot alone, and when the time comes and there's a proposal for it, we can react to that intelligently. Unless there's some other compelling reason to do that, I just think we're opening a big door that we will have no control over in the future. You got a 2-plus acre lot that could be any number of things in the future. So I'd like some answer on that.
City attorney?
Motion I suggested would limit it to this existing building. Would have no application whatsoever to the outlot.
To change the use of the outlot, they'd have to come back with a PDD amendment, find a new location for the what it's being used for Sam's Club for I believe it's part of their stormwater. So the PDD does not have currently a use that would be allowed in there, and as the city attorney said, the distribution is specifically for this 19.7 acre property.
And I appreciate that. I guess what I'm trying to, what's the compelling reason to include it in the PDD now?
It would be it's part of, it's owned by Sam's Club. It's part of the Sam's Club use, part of the Sam's Club site plan. It would be a logical boundary for PDD number 13, opposed to just a B2 property kind of hanging out there by itself. So staff thought it was reasonable to add that into PDD 13, since it is among and being used with a PDD 13 use and property.
There's a big unknown out there. It concerns me.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now for a main motion. It's a long one. Is there a motion to move the Gray Wolf Partners, Inc., formerly Ashley Furniture Store property and adjoining properties rezoning and plan development district number 13, Walmart's slash Sam's Wholesale Club boundary expansion and allowance for an amusement and recreation services and warehousing and distribution uses subject to special use approvals within the existing former Ashley Furniture Store building on the 19.7 acre parcel, 1, Plan Development District Ordinance Amendment. Motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend Chapter 15-3.0418 of the Unified Development Ordinance, Plan Development District Number 13, to in part expand the district boundaries to include and provide for the rezoning of an adjoining to the south approximate 19.7 acre parcel, and an adjoining to the south approximate 2.92 acre outlot from B2 General Business District and FW Floodway District, paren and outlet paren, to Plan Development District Number 13 and FW Floodway District, and to allow for amusement, recreation services, and warehousing and distribution uses subject to special use approvals within the existing building on the 19.7 acre parcel. Is a motion in effect?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, under discussion, Mr. City Attorney.
Only that the resolution title, which you just read, would be as amended by the prior motion to further limit the description of warehousing and distribution uses to the building.
Is that correct, maker of the motion?
I would move to approve as amended.
Okay, and who is the second?
I accept.
Okay.
I accept the change.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it.
No. Motion.
5 ayes, 1 no, ayes have it. Motion carries. item 3B, Gray Wolf Partners, Inc. Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions or restrictions for the approval of special use for an amusement and recreation services use upon property located at 6801 South 27th Street?
Excuse me, Mayor, there is a public hearing notice for this item.
Okay. So I'm a little bit ahead of it. Do you want to read the notice? We do have a rather long agenda tonight, and there's a lot of people waiting to get to their items.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, November 7th, 2013, at 7 o'clock p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Gray Wolf Partners, Inc. for a special use to allow for an amusement and recreation services use upon property zoned Plan Development District Number 13, Walmart slash Sam's Club Wholesale Club, located at 6801 South 27th Street.
Mr. Fuchs?
Before the public hearing, staff is recommending approval. We do have several conditions. I believe the applicant would like to further discuss the staff recommendation on the hours of operations.
Okay. Applicants?
We have Mark Glazer, who's the franchisee and owner of Sky Zone, with us tonight.
Okay.
In Mark's original letter to Nick.
This is Mark.
Mark?
Just want to welcome you to Franklin.
Thank you.
In his original letter to the city regarding hours of operation, he wanted to have the option of staying open until 1 a.m. on Friday or Saturday nights as the demand may require it. And Mark, if you want to come up and talk a little bit more about what that demand is.
Request is
if you could you please state your name and address for the record?
Mark Glazer, 3112 West Hidden Lake Road in Mequon.
Thank you.
And the request for the other two trampoline centers that are open currently, one is an existing Sky Zone that's open in Pewaukee, currently open, and the other one is the Helium Trampoline Park, currently open in New Berlin. Both of those are open till 11 or 12 o'clock routinely on the weekends, on Friday and Saturday nights. And my hours are mirroring the requests of the other Sky Zones that are nationwide open currently. The request is till 1 a.m. on only basically special occasions. And by those, I mean things, for example, for teenagers or children to do on occasions when they're looking for activities. So the one that comes to mind most commonly in our experience are things like post-prom activities. So where a prom night might end at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, or a homecoming might end at 9 or 10 o'clock, these would be activities where they might come from 10 to 1, 10 to 3, at some places nationwide. In these guys on trampoline parks, they actually have what are called jump-ins, I think, where they're sort of like progressive-ish things. And they can go from 10 to 4 a.m. In the neighborhood of Franklin here, the Planet Fitness is already open 24/7. The local Wendy's is open till 11 o'clock and later in the gym. And, of course, the movie theaters are open till midnight. So my routine request would be till 11 p.m., but there might be a few occasions throughout the year, spring break, winter break, holiday break, certain things like that, where the opportunity might present itself to be open later.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to open this item up for public hearing. Are there any parties wishing to speak on the public hearing? Yes, sir.
Same address as earlier, Craig Haskins. I carry the proxy of three boys, Tyler Haskins, who's 15, Jack Haskins, who's 12, and Beck Haskins, who's 7, and the rest of all of the kids in our neighborhood who I've had to take numerous times to New Berlin to jump on their helium trampoline park. And I am carrying the message of my three kids to please let them have a trampoline park in Franklin.
Or else.
I need this to be on the record, and I will play it for them so they know that I'm here getting out of coaching basketball tonight so that I could say that. So thank you.
And I bet one of yours is a pretty outstanding young man. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Ed Skorowski, 8642 South 116th Street, Alderman 6th District. I think this is good. We need places for kids to go and have activities, and sometimes later in the evening time, it's all enclosed. I think it's a great thing, and I don't want Greg to be too old, you know, chasing his kids around and everything else. But maybe we can put him on the trampoline once in a while. But I think it'd be a good thing. We need things like this for entertainment. We have a lot more that this community is looking for, so I would encourage approval.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak on this item during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak on this item during the public hearing? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Mr. Fuchs, now is the motion that I have, or is there any further discussion? Mr. Ritter?
Well, I'm willing to at least entertain some discussion regarding the hours of operation that the applicant has requested. I think it's an unreasonable request. Certainly with regard to the at least the Wendy's hours, the 1 a.m. of Fridays and Saturdays, I guess I would be a little bit cautious about other weeknights, but looking obviously for something like that. Right now what we've got in the draft ordinance is the hours that staff were recommending, which is 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. So the question is, should we put something in there that would be different from that? And I would go with it, I think, at least 1 a.m. on Friday nights and Saturday nights, but... And if there's some way, I guess I'm a little uncertain about special events, that sort of thing. While I can understand, wanting to be able to meet the market, I don't know exactly how I would structure it in an ordinance in order to have it enforceable and effective. So, but I'm not unwilling to do it if somebody can come up with a way.
Mr. Fowler.
Would there be some type of written notification for those special events to the city, or is that... I mean, didn't the sports complex have to notify us of special events that were going to exceed the hours of operation at the sports complex? We couldn't ask for something similar here in this case, or is that too much of a burden on the tenant?
I think it's fine. I was thinking about a pilot.
I'm looking to the tenant to see if that's something that could be done.
Yes, I mean, intuitively, yes. The later evenings would be typically winter break, spring break, or if someone's off on a Friday with one of the high schools that might be off with children wanting something to do. Again, these parks will all have monitors, adults in the park, half a dozen or more of them at any time. So they'll be enclosed and protected at all times. So there's no alcohol, there's no, fear like that. And we'd like the flexibility that if we see, three schools off at the same time on a Friday night or Thursday night, and they're off on Friday, we'd like to be able to extend our hours if the demand is there. That's sort of the strategy behind it. Whether or not we'd be able to give you 24, 48, 72, some type of hours would just be our ability to keep track of the schedule and the request for that kind of stuff.
We had a Hugo's, or the volleyball setup that they had, and we put them on a pilot project or a pilot program and I forgot exactly what the length of it was. Maybe it was a year.
Yeah.
And if there is no complaints or nothing unusual, that we would allow the hours of operation to continue. I think this would be perfect for them. And it would fit, and that way it would bind you to some things, to some unknown thing that you just can't perceive right now. So
I would agree with that.
Okay. Mr. Haley.
Yes, and I'm just looking for clarity. These ideas all sound good. how do we determine what's a special occasion versus not? And I like the idea of 1 year trial period. Do we want to include in that prior notifications or not?
Absolutely.
Let's just formalize this.
Prior notification, I think, would be required because then we'd know what the event was going to be.
I'm still surprised that nobody has said you got your ups and downs.
I just wish it would have happened 10 years ago to save me $1,000 on a trampoline.
Mr. City Attorney?
Only that my recollection, which might be wrong with regard to the sports complex, was that some of the activities occurring there prior to the required notice to the city had thousands and thousands thousands of people, and there were ordinances requiring applications, such as for special events and extraordinary events that weren't being followed. So ultimately that was resolved by filing of the necessary applications, and there was a requirement to notify the city. But there's a large variety of potential uses that were occurring and are occurring there versus this is an enclosed
other ordinances would
trample indoor trampoline
it would
park
be
if
occupancy
will.
Ordinances
and do you really need the owner to notify the city, well, we're going to extend our hours to 1 a.m. this time because why
don't we just leave the hours of operation out?
I would agree. I don't think we need an advance notification. I'll suggest Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, 3 a.m., 1 year trial period. We'll revisit it in a year. If there's no
sure.
problems, we'll go with it.
Perfect.
Does that seem reasonable?
Very reasonable.
Is that workable for a year?
I mean, I love that. I just wonder about, again, on the spring break or winter break when the kids are off 10 days in a row.
Well, that'll give you some idea, some chance to see just is it an unreasonable restriction? Is it something you could live with for a year and then you could report back? We could not only get a report back from the staff and the police department if there have been any complaints, you could also fill us in on just how restricted that is.
Yes, I can easily struggle through that.
Okay,
yes.
So let's. I'll suggest that for a year. We'll revisit it in a year and reconsider to that point.
Okay, well, I have a proposed motion, that'd be a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of special use for an amusement and recreation services use upon property located 6801 South 27th Street, with the inclusion of the suggestion that was made by Mr. Ritter regarding the hours of operation. City Attorney.
I'm understanding that the hours of operation, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., are separate. Then in a separate phrase, it would say further hours on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Are allowed for a period of 1 year and shall be subject to review for no adverse impact performance within 1 year.
Is that correct, Mr. Ritter?
That works for me.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Would you mind just 1 year from the time the park's opening rather than 1 year from tonight? Because it's going to be several months until it's actually
yeah.
open.
Yeah,
open.
So, okay.
I mean, I open it for 4 or 5 months if I only have 2 months to come back.
I wish I would have had this when I was going to have the problem.
How can we establish the date of opening?
Occupancy
permit would, but they wouldn't necessarily be ready. I mean, the occupancy doesn't mean ready to open.
Sure.
You're close. Okay, let's go. Okay.
Closer.
Okay. Occupancy permit, then. Okay.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Thank you for your patience. And personal note, I know what you've done to try and bring this business here, and I greatly, greatly thank you for all of your hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you, too, Mr. Haskins, and thank your boys.
Excuse me, Mayor. Can we have the maker of the motion and the second on that? Who was?
Who made the motion?
I was the second.
Mr. Schmidt? Alderman Schmidt? The maker of the motion?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. We have some visitors, I think, that have flown in from a long ways away, and I'm going to, I know that they would greatly appreciate moving this forward. I'm going to skip to item 3D, Conservancy for Healing and Heritage, Inc., Chapel Construction, use of, as part of the Lakes Trails Healing Garden and Chapel Project. Mr. Fuse.
The applicant is proposing to amend Plan Development District Number 28 to allow construction of a 825-square-foot, 40-foot-tall chapel at the Conservancy for Healing and Heritage site. The project will also include additional landscaping and a crushed granite path, which provides access to the Covenant Healthcare parking lot to the south. I believe on the plans it is currently shown as concrete, but there is a condition that that would be changed to a crushed granite path. The PDD amendment will, the PDD itself will specifically be changed to allow the chapel as a permitted use, to allow the a building setback of 55 feet from the south property line, allow a building height of 40 feet, and will allow off-site parking on the adjacent healthcare property. Staff is recommending approval of the PDD amendment as a minor amendment, subject to the conditions in the draft ordinance. Staff is also suggesting that the applicant provide pedestrian amenities, replace the cedar siding at the base of the chapel with a more durable material, add decorative pedestrian scale lighting, and require an annual review of the buckthorn removal for 3 years.
Okay. Any questions?
So moved.
Is there a motion to determine the proposed amendment to be a minor amendment?
Yes.
3 seconds.
Second.
Your discussion, Mr. Ritter?
Not of this one. I thought it was going to, not about a major minor. I thought it was going to make the motion for the items.
Any further discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. There is a second requested motion. That would be a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend Chapter 15-3.0433 of the Unified Development Ordinance, Plan Development District Number 28, paren Polish Festivals, Inc., paren, to allow for the construction and use of a chapel. A motion to that effect.
I so moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, Mr. Ritter?
The staff suggestion about the site subject to annual review of the first 3 years of planning to be sure that the buckthorn doesn't. I would suggest that that be made a condition rather than a suggestion. That would be what I would suggest that we add.
Don't agree. Any mm-hmm. disagreement? Okay. Mr. Hale.
Just a further comment about the walk being made out of decomposed granite. May not be wise. Given the nature of the people who are probably using it, the proximity to the hospital, you really need to be concerned about universal accessibility, ADA, wheelchair accessibility. A granite path can meet that standard if meticulously groomed, but from a practical perspective, it's going to be a serious impediment to anybody with wheelchairs, walkers, anything like that. And concrete is probably a far better solution for asphalt.
Mr. Haley, would you mind just telling you what you do for a living?
I'm a landscape architect for the Milwaukee County Parks Department. And it may not be our business, but the Americans with Disabilities Act says if you're going to build it, make it accessible, and I just think that you may find it's not accessible after a short period of time.
I was just trying to point out that you're kind of an expert on this.
But if I could point out, when we built the Hard Park project in Wauwatosa, we used a crushed gravel for a sidewalk for a senior center, and we ended up replacing that with porous concrete, porous asphalt, because of the same issues that Commissioner Haley's bringing forward, that there were issues for people that were with walkers and with wheelchairs.
If you could please state your name and address for the record.
Will do so. My name is Scott Ramlo with Eli Wilson Architects, address 322 East Michigan Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Distinguished young man next to you.
My name's Mike Murray. My address is 12341 Ann Norway Point Road in Hayward, Wisconsin.
And if, for those of you that may not know this gentleman, he's kind of responsible for the building and stability of the city of Franklin. So with that, I thank you.
Well, I appreciate I have to say that I appreciate the cooperation of the mayor and the council and the committees to help us move this forward, because this has been a long trip, and as far as I think the concept that I discussed with the lineman starting was in the year 2000. And finally, we're at a point now, we've raised about $1.2 million at this point, and we can now construct the chapel, which becomes the launching of the campaign, the general campaign itself. We have over 6,000 individuals who will be looking for financial support on this, and we've just sent out, given the fact that the chapel, we've got the funding for the chapel, and we've got funding for partial trails, and to begin the planning and processing for the rest of the trails and also the healing garden. So we're ready to go. We've just sent out 36 grant applications this week for the trails, for the major part of the trails in the healing garden. So things are going very, very well. And I do have, even though I live in Hayward, I do have an interest in Franklin. I am the chair of Wheaton Franciscans, so I do have my heart here in the city of Franklin. And so, and I really appreciate your support.
Thanks, Mike. Would you like us to address the question of the walk? We did submit the walk as a concrete walk. Staff had concerns that the concrete was going over a property line, so it could be considered a structure. So they asked us to agree with the granite. We would still prefer concrete for the reasons that you state. If the commission is comfortable that we can work out the issue of the concrete crossing the property line with staff, we would actually prefer that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I just pointed out.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, so. Mr. Fowler?
Is there an issue with the city engineer shaking his head? He's the old sage, so I'm thinking it's not a problem.
Okay.
Cold joint. Built in the
past? Yep.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Nice to see you again. Thanks for the great project.
Well, unfortunately, when I came up with this idea of renovating the facility, I got in front of the committee and I said, look, guys, it's going to take 9 months. 22 years. We're still working on it.
Beautiful what you asked for.
We'll say a prayer for you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, back to the regular agenda item. I can't find my agenda. Item C, Andrew J. Petty and Amanda E. Petty. Mr. Fuchs.
This is going to be a this has been in front of the Plan Commission before. A public hearing was held and closed for this item at the September 19th Plan Commission meeting. Planning staff at that meeting was directed to work with the applicant and bring the item back within 90 days. The applicant is proposing to install a fence and turf grass within the wetland setback located on their property. They're also planning to remove turf grass and fill that was mistakenly, that encroaches into the wetland buffer
and they're also providing some additional landscaping on the property. The plan submitted by the applicant illustrates a portion of the fence and some of the landscaping within the wetland buffer. That was not actually the intent of the applicant. That is going to be shifted into the wetland setback area. Just up, the fence would be up to the wetland buffer line. Staff is in agreement with the Environmental Commission findings and recommends denial of the NRC application. If approved, staff recommends submittal of a corrected plan and a two-year landscape guarantee be provided for the enhancement plantings shown on the plan. In front of you, you should also have a letter from adjacent property owner, and they are objecting to the NRC request.
Yes, I did receive the letter. Did everyone else receive the letter?
There should be an email as well.
I think there was there was an email prior to that. Oh, I have the email in front of me, I think.
Both emails.
Okay.
And for the record, she did call me as well, and I had a lengthy conversation with her as well.
Okay. We had a public hearing on this. We took testimony. My recollection is we did close the public hearing.
That is correct.
And so the item that's before you is an action item and to be moved or to be acted upon tonight. I think Mr. Fowler and Alderman Skronsky and others went out to the site, and my understanding is, this is all coming secondhand through Joel to me, but there was parties tried to reach some compromises or tried to do whatever they could, and with that, I guess I would turn to Mr. Fowler. And I hated to put you in the spot the first time, but you happen to be an expert in.
I'm not an expert in this, but this is a difficult situation. There was some information that we didn't have on our initial visit about where the fill was placed. And I, having met the property owner, I feel that he is innocent or it's not his issue. And I feel that the developer, when he put the fill onto the property, encroached into the buffer at that time. That seems to be my opinion. I think Oren and I had a conversation. I want to thank Oren. Reached out to me while I was in Michigan for several days, and I just want to appreciate his effort to keep me informed of what was going on. I thought it was above and beyond his usual duties, and I thank him for that. But that being said, we did try to reach some agreement so that the use of the property by the owner for his stated purposes could be done. I have concerns because when we grant an exception, as Commissioner Haley has pointed out, when you get on these slippery slopes of granting exceptions, they start to come fast and furious because this is not the only property that abuts a wetland where the buffer infringes on the use of that property. In some cases here, it was the developer who actually made it look like the lot was larger than it was and that the buffer might be in a different location than it actually is. We did meet with the property owner and laid down some flags and talked about where the fence could be and trying to come up with some compromises that he would gain some of the buffer, but then he would restore sections of the buffer. And I'd like to have the property owner make sure that I'm saying this properly, so if he gets a chance to speak, I don't know if he'd be allowed to. But I thought we had reached what I thought was reasonable. And my understanding is that the homeowner himself is willing to remove the fill that's in the buffer, which, like I said, I think would go well beyond somebody else trying to come along and do this and ask for an exemption without some sacrifice on the part of the property owner, though I do believe that some of this was beyond his control. So I would be willing to support this special exception if those items were going to be put forward. I'm very reluctantly doing that, but I did make that promise on the site with the property owner that I would do my best to see that this could come to some resolution, and so I'm not going to go back on what I told the property owner.
Okay. Anyone else?
Mr. Mayor? Yes. I was not here for the hearing, so I will abstain. I did not hear
anything on the hearing. Mr. Haley?
It's an unfortunate situation, and I feel great compassion for the applicants, but I can't support this in any way for many reasons. Many of the comments that I would make, I think, were pretty well summarized in the multiple letters, emails that we got from the neighbors. They make good and valid points. I think it's an important threshold, and I understand that they're in a situation of duress, that they're not being, they're being forced to maybe clean up a mess that somebody else started, but the problem, it was largely self-imposed. There are alternatives. They have a landscape plan that they're trying to impose on a site. The process should be that you come up with a landscape plan that accommodates the site and the restrictions. This is an extremely slippery slope. I don't see what we gain except making an extremely bad precedence by approving this, because everyone else in the city is going to come back at us and say, you let them do it. We want to do this. The protections are there. The reason we have these ordinances are to protect the wetlands and their adjacent buffers, and the buffers are there to keep encroachments from happening into the wetland. And once you start, it never ends, and this will keep nibbling away. So it's a terrible precedent to set. Correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is the Environmental Commission has not recommended in support of the special exception, and I don't think that we can take action without that recommendation. If the process, the way I understand the special exception is set up, they have to come at us with an affirmative. Now, theoretically, council can do whatever, but my understanding has always been that special exceptions require an affirmative recommendation from the Environmental Commission. So whether or not that's there, I think that's something we ought to be addressing if anybody's seriously considering supporting this. There are alternatives. Even at this point in time, I commend Commissioner Fowler for trying to help find them, but there's always a solution. You've got a landscape plan that has plenty of adult space, land and stone deck, all of these things. It could have easily been reconfigured in a way. If the concern was accommodating the children, then you set that as a higher priority. You accommodate their area first and make the adult space a little bit different. I'm not going to get into criticizing the design. There are always alternatives. I think that they should be pursued, and I just, for many reasons, cannot support a special exception for this.
Based on what you just raised about the Environmental Commission, I think it'd be wise for us to allow the city attorney a little bit of time to review the ordinance.
I am aware that the recommendation from the Environmental Commission goes to the Common Council, not the Plan Commission. And
let the city attorney interpret the ordinance.
I don't call it interpreting. I just call it reading it, because they say what they said.
While he's doing that, could I? I would agree with Commissioner Haley to a great extent. I just want to make sure we try to get a better understanding of what Commissioner Fowler has agreed to, or. You know, the alternative you worked out in his mind. Would, in terms of your expectation of what would be done on the site, would that accomplish in any way the goal that the wetland setback was established for in the first place?
It would partially meet that goal.
Partially.
The issue I have, and Kevin Haley makes excellent points, as always. The issue I have is, he did things to his property, put in the adult space for his deck. A lot of that would have to be reconfigured, I think, to accommodate. There are a lot of options for him, and I agree with that. It's just that with some of the things that the developer has done, they compromised the wetland already. And if he can then come back and undo some of the things that were done by the developer and increase some of the buffering capacity that does not exist right now, it's turf grass. He has agreed to that. That recreates this partially. It's a difficult situation. It's really hard for me to make this decision, but I think in trying to be fair to the property owner and trying to at least not get too far down that slippery slope, we're there, and I understand that. We need to get something back from the property owner. This cannot be just a carte blanche that he just is allowed to do. And we had some long conversations. I don't think initially the property owner was in agreement with some of the things we asked him to do. But I think after there was some explanation of why, some of the reasoning behind it, he did agree to some of those things that we asked for. So it's not, is it going to fulfill the the what was intended by the buffer? No, it's going to partially fulfill that.
But if
we do nothing, if the property owner chooses to do nothing, the buffer still is not fulfilling those things that it was meant to be. And he would then, that's the problem. If he does nothing, there's fill in the buffer.
I guess based
we
on
have that to deal with.
What Mr. Haley raised was, is this, I guess I would ask, is this properly before us?
Yes. There's no requirement that plan or environmental commission must recommend approval before plan commission proceeds. My understanding here is the environmental commission recommended denial. The commission did make a recommendation.
That's correct. Okay. So we have before us to either move approval or to recommend denial.
If I can impose one more time on the city attorney, and it's referenced in the email that we got from the Rotherings. My argument, and I stated it, is that this is largely a self-imposed situation. And my understanding, again, and I may be wrong, but the natural, in order to be eligible for the special exception, it need not be a self-imposed situation. It needs to be based upon issues beyond their control. So, again, I don't want to mince it. I want to make sure that if we're going to vote on this, everybody's aware. I think it's largely self-imposed. The problem started somewhere else. It could have been changed at any point in time, and there's still an opportunity to change it. And I think whoever the responsible party is should remove the fill from the wetland and put that back the way it was and stay away from it. That's the reason these buffers are there. It's,
you know, we did take a lot of testimony. There was a lot of time spent on this issue. I made some impassionate pleas about the laws are not so inflexible that you don't take into consideration human compassion. We had some very unique circumstances. I think there was an imminent birth of a child, all of those things. I don't know if the Environmental Commission had those items in front of them.
It was on the day, I think, that we visited.
And maybe they shouldn't, but what was arrived at that night was that a group was going to go out, ask Mr. Fowler, because of his, I thought, his expertise, and others to go out and take a look and see if something could be worked out here. So that has occurred, and now it's back before us. And while it's a very complicated issue, I think that's why you're all here. You're supposed to weigh the ordinances and the precedents that may be set versus my constituents' concerns. And I think all of that has been done, and I think we're ready for a vote. So I would ask someone to make a motion. Either move approval or...
I would move approval.
Right. Is there a second? Is there a second to the motion? Seeing none, is there a motion to deny?
Is our motion a recommendation to the Common Council?
Yes.
Okay, so then I will make the motion to recommend to the Common Council denial.
I'll second.
All right, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
I abstain.
Okay, so we have 4 ayes, 1 no, 1 abstention. Ayes have it, motion carries. Now turn to the next item. Belays, J. Cantonese and Kathleen Cantonese, combination of a residential lot and adjoining vacant lot into one parcel.
The applicant is proposing a land combination to combine properties located approximately 7771 South 76th Street. One parcel contains the property owner's home and accessory building and is about 2.37 acres. The other parcel is 0.59 acres and is vacant except for a portion of the driveway runs through that property to get to the home. Staff is recommending approval.
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, this came up relative to special assessments. They have one lot that's about 60 feet. Our minimum is 100 feet for lot for special assessments. So if they're not going to maintain these lots, it's probably in their best interest to combine them, and that's what the owner is doing. I would move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for approval. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now I'll turn to Avian Estates.
The applicant has submitted the final plat for the Avian Estates 13-lot subdivision development and also a subdivision monument sign application. The final plat has been revised to address the Plan Commission comments that were made in the review of the preliminary plat at the July 18th meeting. Staff has no objections to the monument sign. We are recommending approval of the final plat and the monument sign application. The draft resolution does require a technical correction regarding the recording time frame. That has to be changed from 180 days to 12 months.
Okay. Mr. Bennett.
Yes, I would like to compliment the developer. I think he's worked with the staff extremely well, and we've ironed out all the problems that we have. So I would... Do you have a special motion?
Yeah, I do. A motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a final plat for Avian Estates subdivision.
So moved.
Second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? The city attorney and then
understand that includes the technical time limit for recording from the draft before the plan commission changed from 6 months to or 180 days to 12 months.
Okay. Mr. Knippel.
Just want to compliment them for using the geoblock porous pavement on the sidewalk connecting the two subdivisions, because I think that's a start on some of our concerns about stormwater runoff. That's a good start.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 2 is a motion to approve a resolution approving a monument sign for Avian Estates subdivision.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. See, nothing to this. You guys put 10 years of preliminary work into it. Okay, Fleet Streets, connectivity.
There have been no meetings.
The meeting is the 14th.
Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
I
move. Second. Second. For discussion, seeing none, all in favor of the same saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I have to go watch the football game, and I lost. I started.